welcome back to another Twitter space, man. We're going to, again, we like to keep it nice and casual, nice and normal. Again, today, let's get right to it. We have Ezine Kalu. Please, I beg, Ezine, you can introduce yourself way better than I can. I just want to make sure that, you know, you get your flowers, which we will give you, for sure. So, we'll go ahead and have you introduce yourself, Ezine. Say what's up.
Hi, everyone. This is Ezine here, Ezine Kalu from Abia State, also known as the Nigerian Queen, professional basketball player for Team Nigeria, entrepreneur, brand ambassador. That's me. Most of you guys know me. Some of you probably don't. And I look forward to chatting with you all, answering questions, and just having a good time with you all tonight.
Omo, we love it. Round of applause. Ezine, literally Niger Nation, man, we've been supporting you for a while. So on behalf of the entire team, we want to say shout out to you. Thanks a lot for hopping on this with us. I know there's a lot of shit out, you know, a lot of different shit you could have done. But so let's just get right to it, man. It's going to be a casual chat, man. We just want to know more about you. You know, we're going to have people come on later and ask you questions. Okay, obviously, right, everybody, I want to start off with this. Everyone knows your guys' Olympic run last year. That was, I watched every single bit of it, I want to know from the horse's mouth. I want to hear I'm sure I'm not the only one, but we want to hear how that was. How was the Olympics? How was that process? How's even the process to get, you know, chosen for the Olympics? And just, you know, let's start off with that, man. I just kind of want to hear about your guys' Olympic run last year.
Yeah, for starters, that whole Paris experience was just unbelievable. I mean, we didn't perform so well in Tokyo, so Paris was definitely the place where we wanted to just make a statement and put Nigeria on the map and really show everybody what Nigeria and Africa was all about. And it's so crazy because people think that the Paris was just one village, but it was actually two villages. We were in the Lille village with a couple of other countries. We were in the Lille village, and we had to win at least two games to even qualify to go to Paris. So beating Australia and beating Canada was really huge for us because after those two wins, we were able to go to Paris and play against France and play against USA and, you know, even play in the quarterfinals. And just that whole experience was just amazing. From the first start of us playing Australia, we came into that game with a chip on our shoulder. You know, everybody thought that Nigeria were the underdogs and Nigeria wasn't going to do so well. Nigeria wasn't going to beat Australia. And we did something amazing. I mean, we made history. We came out strong. We finished strong. And, you know, it was just unfortunate that we ended up with USA in the quarterfinals. But all in all, it was a really great experience. I was just happy to just be there with my girls again. I know a lot of people noticed that I wasn't with the team for a while, but I ended up coming back to be with the girls for the Olympics, and it was just a blessing to just be back and do something special and, you know, really put Africa on the map and show them what Nigeria is all about.
Wow, that is 10 out of 10. Please, round of applause. Okay, so that's, man, Jesus Christ, man. So was it like a hiatus that you took, or you were just kind of like working on your personal game when you took that pause, or
sort of both? I don't know if everybody remember, but a few years ago there was this video that came out that me and a few of the other players put together just about like our treatment with the national team and just about like the things that we were going through, and it wasn't received really, really well by MBBF and the organization, and they decided to get rid of a few players, and I just happened to be the head of the snake, so, you know, they did what they had to do. But I mean, I didn't look at it as an issue, because with family, you know, family, sometimes you have fights, sometimes you have arguments, and sometimes you just need to separate yourself, right. And you come back together and you try to do things again, and that's what happened. I think that hiatus was good for myself and also for the team.
Sorry about that, internet. I think I accidentally muted you. Go ahead. You can go ahead and unmute yourself. Sorry about that.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. I think that like with any family, when you have issues, you know, sometimes you just need to separate yourself for a while and then come back together when the time is right. And it was honestly a blessing in disguise, because the time that we had when I was away, they was able to create another team with a new group of girls. So me coming back was just meeting a whole new bunch of sisters, and we ended up coming together and doing something really special. And I'm happy I was able to come back to the team and help out.
That is lovely. New family, man. New family, but same mm-hmm. blood, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, I kind of want to rewind a little bit. Introduce yourself again, but just like the early beginnings of your life and like your career. You know, how did you get into basketball? I always love hearing that. You know, me personally, I played basketball myself. Well, please, I'm a hooper. You get me? So I know about the grind. I know about the D1 life. I know about, you know, the NBA hoop dreams. So, but yeah, dude, how did you get into basketball? What inspired your love for the game? Just kind of want to, you know, touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, for starters, basketball was not my first choice. So I didn't like the
sport. What was your first choice? What the hell? You're a soccer player or what?
Football over here. I was a cheerleader.
let me find out you were the one that they tossed in the air. What?
No way. No, I was a cheerleader in middle school and early middle school. I was a cheerleader. I was on a step team. I was just not into sports at all. I didn't like the sweating. I didn't like the running. I didn't like the jumping. I just didn't like it at all. But in third grade, my mom, you know, as any parent, they want their kids to try something different. So my mom, she was like, "Hey, like try out for this team. You know, they're looking for girls to play on the team because the team is full of boys. They want to make it more diverse. So just try out and see if you like it." So I ended up trying out, and here I am beating all the young boys on the team. So I'm like, okay, this is something that I can do. This is something that I love.
Right. Come on now. There we go.
So third grade was the first time I picked up the ball, and I just stuck with it. And it was, at first, I didn't really start to enjoy it until I started to work on my game and get better at it. You know, usually when you start something and you see yourself not being good, it kind of discourages you to keep doing it. But I'm
For sure. Then it's to the point to where I was saying, and I was agreeing with you, like it's then it starts feeling like, ah, damn, I might not be nice enough, might not be good enough. You know?
Exactly. So I just was like, you know what, if this is something I'm really going to do, I just have to, you know, just give it one more chance. Just keep trying to get better. And every day I'm in the gym practicing with my team. Every day my mom is taking me outside to practice in the rain, in the snow, no matter the temperature. We're just outside just working. And I started to fall in love with it. You know, I started to enjoy it. I started to play on different travel teams. I started to just, you know, find a love for the game, and I just stuck with it. And I don't know if many people.
And if you don't mind me asking, right? Both of your parents are Nigerian, right?
No, that's what I was just about to say. My mom is from South Carolina, and my dad is Nigerian. So all my Niger blood I get from my dad. He's from Abia State, from Aba. I'm from the Ohafia village. And that's how I got my name, as a name from my grandmother. It means good mother. And yeah, my mom, my dad ended up moving to America way before I was born. And him and my mom got together, and then boom, there's me. So I was born in New Jersey, and I spent most of my summers going back and forth from New Jersey to Nigeria. So fourth grade was the first time I went to Nigeria, and every summer my mom is like sending me to Nigeria to just get that culture, to just get that other side of my family. Right there, exactly, yeah. Yes. So I've always had that Nigerian blood in me. It was just a matter of just getting over there and experiencing that side of my family.
Right. Wait, so you're what? Oh my God, that's fire. I love that.
My mom is American, yep.
So you're telling me that your Nigerian dad didn't trip about you playing basketball? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Nigerian parents nowadays, academics. Like, how was that? Like, fixing money academics?
You know what's crazy? I think this is the best part about being half Nigerian, half American, because I have my American mom to save me from all the not stereotypes, but just all the Nigerian expectations, you know, of
you said it right. Stereotypes. You said it right, man. You said it right the first time, girl. You good. You safe here, man. You good.
So my mom wasn't with the be an engineer, be a doctor, be a lawyer. My mom was like, listen, let her play sports. If she wanna play sports, let her play sports. My mom was like, she was the person that put her foot down when my dad would try to say, no, you're going to do this. I want you to do this. So she was not having it at all. And after a while, my dad started to come to terms with the fact, okay, if she's going to play basketball, then let her play, but let her become good so she can at least make a name for herself. So he wasn't really on board with the whole basketball thing until I got my full scholarship for basketball. When I got my full scholarship, he started to really support the idea.
Where'd you get a scholarship to?
Savannah State. Huh? Mm-hmm. Savannah State in Savannah, Georgia. I was there. Okay. I was there for about 4 or 5 years. I did a redshirt year after I tore my ACL. And yeah, after I received that scholarship, he was like, "Okay, free school, no wahala. You can go. You can play."
Of course, you know they love that, man. They love that. You know, for all the, because there's a lot of people on the back end of this audio recording, so we upload it as a podcast, so a lot of people are going to be able to listen to this on the back end. There's a lot of girls that are, a lot of little girls that are in Nigeria, you know, that follow Niger Nation or Niger Nation Sports, and, you know, they're always looking for that resource, right? So, again, I just want to let you know you are a beam of light to a lot of Nigerian women, a lot of young Nigerian girls, so, you know, keep on doing it. Keep on doing your thug, man. Keep on doing your thing. So what was that? Let's talk about that transition from high school to college. Because even for me, it was tough. Like, I wasn't ready straight out of high school. So I had to go to a junior college for 2 years. You know what I mean? I had to play JUCO, which, again, it was great. You know, I love JUCO. I think that a JUCO hooper is different than any hooper. But, you know, talk to us about that transition from high school to college when it comes to basketball and how your college career was.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that transition for me was a lot easier because I knew what it took to kind of go somewhere far from home and still have to put the work in and still have to, you know, if you want to be successful and if you want to keep your scholarship, you have to continue to put the work in and do what you're supposed to do. So me going away to college, I think the only thing that kind of affected me was the distance. But as far as the athletics, I've always been the type of player to work hard. I've always been the one to be the first one at the gym, the last one to leave the gym. So I always knew, I always just had that work ethic in me. It was always instilled in me to just work hard and give your best 100%. The hardest thing for me was the distance, you know, being away from my mom, my family, and, you know, not being able to see my mom at all the games every day. I mean, she came to all the games as she could, but for me, it was a distance for sure, but I adjusted pretty quickly. Being at Savannah State, it's the HBCU, so Historically Black College University. So it felt like home. It started to feel like home after a while, and yeah, it started to be easy to transition from, you know, the athletic side, the athletics concept, and, you know, being on the court, because I've always had that work ethic. And the college experience was amazing. You know, being on the court, playing against these big schools.
Hey, HBCU life must be insane. Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Yes, and you have to be careful because me like a city girl coming from New Jersey, then going down south to Georgia and experiencing all these different homecoming events and all these different basketball games and football games, sometimes it sucks you in. And if you're not strong headed,
right, almost like a damn near a culture shock for sure.
If you're not really like focused and really locked in on what you there to do, then you can really lose your way. And I'm just happy that I just, you know, had a strong mind to just really say, okay, outside of having fun, you there to do two things. You're there to graduate and you're there to hopefully become a pro when you leave here.
So
kept those in mind, the journey just became it became a lot easier.
Right. And that it, man, that's great. That's honestly dope. I think I want to touch on just a few moments, like few memorable moments from your career. Because okay, so you went high school, college. So how long have you been playing basketball? When did you actually first start? You said third. Was it third grade? I just want to make sure.
Before yeah, third grade. I started playing third grade. I forget how old I was, but I was really, really young. So, and I started playing professionally in 2015. So I've been playing professionally since 2015.
Okay. So what would you say, because when did you start representing Nigeria? Because I really want to dive into that.
Yeah.
I mean, your involvement when it comes to Team Nigeria, like, just aspirational, not even inspirational. It's great to see. So when did you start playing with Team Nigeria? How was that process, especially? Because, like, does somebody reach out to you? Do you have to have, like, a plug inside, you know, to play? Like, I just want to provide context for everyone who's listening and anybody who does listen who might want to hoop for, you know, Team Nigeria. You know, what is that like? What was your process like?
Yeah, my process was a little different because people don't notice it, but I started playing with the junior national team. Not too many people know that we had a junior national team back in the day. This is like 2013, 2014. And I started playing for them because my coach, my assistant coach at the time at Savannah State, knew somebody in the federation. I don't know if you guys know this, but know Coach Scott. He used to be the coach for the under 19 team. And I started playing with them. And we used
is that for the under 19 Nigeria team?
Yeah, under 19 Nigeria national team. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if please, if anybody know Coach Scott and Coach when what's his name? Isaiah. I forget his name. Who was the president at that time? But I have a picture. But this was when Olumide was helping out. This is when Coach Scott was helping out. This is 2013, 2014. So this is early on before, like, I even became a part of the national team of what it is now. My assistant coach, he reached out to me at college, and he's like, hey, like, one of my friends is helping out with the Nigerian younger team. Do you want to play? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, just play for Nigeria? And he's like, yeah. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Like, I had no idea this was a national team that I was playing for. And we were playing in tournaments in, like, France. And we were supposed to go to Chile at one point. And we was having a national team in Washington, D.C. at Gallaudet University. And this experience was just something I've never ever imagined myself doing. And I'm like, here I am representing a whole country. Like, we're official, but we're not really a big deal yet. So I did so well with the younger girls that my friend who used to be on the team, Joyce, she was like, hey, like, I see you play with the younger girls before. I want you to come try out for the senior girls and see how you would do. I think you'll be a really good addition to the team. This is in 2016 now. So I'm like, okay, I'll come to a tryout. I come to a tryout, and I made a team. And I've been with the older girls since then.
Jeez, like that. Just like that. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. Wow.
And I was playing under the older squad, the Olayinka and Joyce and Didi Madu. Those were my OGs back then.
I was just about to say the OGs for real.
Like, yeah, they were my OGs. They were my OGs back then.
You know, I have a question. You know what? Kind of want to change gears a little bit. I think nowadays, you know, whether you see it on social media or just on TV, I love it. Right? I love the rise in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. I know that you played in the WNBA, the Atlanta Braves, which. It's not your hometown, but I mean, you know, I'm sure you got a little piece of the A in you. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure. Yeah. I know you're from New Jersey, but you still got a little piece of the A in you. You get me? You know what I'm saying? But in general, you know, how do you feel about you know, the rise of women's basketball? I mean, obviously, women's basketball has been around for a while, but you see it highly publicized now, whether it's raises in contracts or just more, you know, just more publicity to the women's sport of basketball. How do you feel about that? You know, how does that? And besides that, I also want to touch on another aspect. You know, what challenges as, you know, from as a woman pro athlete have you seen personally?
Yeah. So I feel two ways about the rise of women's basketball. I feel like, wow, I feel like, damn, it's about time. Like, everybody is watching women's sports. People are gravitating towards it. People are seeing the level of talent. People are going out to the games. People are buying tickets. There's a lot of media attention. I love that for us. I think that it's about time that, you know, people, that women in general have gotten recognition for the talent that they possess, for the just everything in general about the sport. And also too, on the back end, I'm salty because I'm mad that the NIL wasn't around when I was in college. Like, can you imagine?
So mad. Oh my God.
Mad that NIL was not around, because I don't know if y'all know this, but I was the first woman to score 2,000 points at my school. I was the first woman to score 1,000 points at my school, and I'm like,
nah, at Savannah State,
yes.
Come on, round of applause, please. We're talking to a true. We're talking to a true bucket getter. Listen, I beg, please, Lord.
Can you?
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. But
hey,
everybody who's listening right now, please take a second. Follow Ezine. Please follow our Nigerian queen. She's literally amazing. I don't know if you're seeing or tweeting, but everybody loves the way that you're speaking. Go ahead and follow her. On a serious note, you know, definitely follow her journey. Really just getting started. And, yeah, follow her. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah.
Continue to go ahead and tap on the NIL. And like, trust me, I'm pissed about that too, but go on. For the people who don't know what the NIL is, you know, go on.
Yeah, I just wish that back then we were able to use the talent that we had and our name and our likeness and just use that to advance our career. But all in all, like, I think that, you know, women, the growth of women's basketball is amazing. Like, there's so much talent out there. There's so many women who have paved the way for this exact, for all these moments to be happening. And I'm just happy that people actually get to recognize now. I'm happy that they have different platforms now. I'm happy that it's being televised more and talked about. No, this is all we've ever asked for, you know, for us to be, you know, just to be recognized as a talent as a whole, and, you know, as for the things that we can do on the court, off the court as well. And I'm happy about it. My time with the Atlanta Dream was amazing. It was only for those 3 days for the playoffs. And, you know, I was definitely grateful for it. My time has come for sure. And I'm hoping that, you know, this time around, that whether it's with the Dream or whoever else, that I get the opportunity to go to the W again. And I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness gracious. You know, another round of applause. No, good. I love that. I want to take a second. I want to introduce, you know, our co-host for today's show, Mr. Emmanuel, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. Say what's up, introduce yourself and whatnot. Wow, that's dope. So I want to give some time for some people to ask a few questions, because there have been a lot of people who have raised their hands, a lot of speakers that are already here. But I love tapping into life off the court, right? Because, you know, when I was a hooper, I still did a lot of stuff off the court. And again, as do you, right? So you have your own business, you know, I want to touch on that as well. But, you know, how do you spend your time off the court, right? Like, you've been playing basketball for so long. You've been in the industry. I call it an industry, like this, the hoop industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hoop life is an industry, man. Like the circuit is ridiculous. But yeah, how do you spend your time off the court? You know, like, do you have any hobbies, passions? Like, let's talk about nothing but basketball. I don't want to talk about basketball for 5 straight minutes. Let's talk. Like, you know, what are some of your hobbies? What do you like? What are some of your passions besides hoops?
Outside of basketball, I'm really just a super down-to-earth person. Like, I feel like everybody else, I love enjoying my peace. Sometimes I do love going out. I love writing. I love helping to create films or help executive producing films, whether it's about sports life or regular life. I have this, I don't want to say obsession, but it kind of is an obsession. I do love jigsaw puzzles. I have this thing where I can put together like a 1,500 piece in like 4 or 5 days, and I tape it together and I hang them up. I love painting. I love reading. I have so many different, I can wear so many different hats. I model as well. I've been part of New York Fashion Week quite a few times. My dream is to be a part of Paris Fashion Week or London Fashion Week.
Jesus Christ. What can you not do? Come on, Jesus. Oh my God.
I love cooking. I just try to stay active. Like, I try to stay active in the community as well. I volunteer.
Right.
From time and time again, I've been volunteering more because I'm in the process of creating my own foundation, specifically towards inner city youth and African athletes. So I've been in the process of just volunteering more, helping out in the community, being boots on ground. And yeah, I just try to do everything. I try new hobbies. I have a real good knack for putting furniture together. So I can put a whole chair together. I can put a whole TV stand together. Like, I just love doing anything that can be active. Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's fire. That's dope. Okay. So, and I want to touch on your own business, right? So you mentioned that you're a business owner. So do that as well. So what's your business? Like, let's see where people can support you and just, you know, when you started, just a little bit of details on that.
Yes, my business is Kalu Cosmetics. Right now it's under construction, but it's a cosmetics brand, and it's specifically towards the sportswoman. It is lipstick products that don't come off when you sweat. For me, when I was in college, I loved wearing makeup. I loved wearing lip glosses and lipsticks when I played. But the problem was, every time I'll play, it'd come off. So my thought process was, what if I, and you know who inspired me to create this business? Tina Thompson. Ooh. I don't know if anybody knows Tina Thompson, but she was she was one of the best WNBA players that I've known. She's broken so many records. She's a WNBA champion, but she was the one who was wearing lipstick while she was playing. She wore the bull red lipstick. If you look up her pictures in the games, you can see she's wearing the lipstick. And that was like her staple. That was like her image. And I'm like, wow, like, it's nice that you can see women still keep their femininity while they're playing. So I'm like, how can I create a brand where women can still wear their makeup and their lip gloss and lipstick while they're still playing, and it doesn't come off mid-game, or it's not coming off on their jersey? So this is what my cosmetics brand is catered towards, the sportswoman, whether you do fitness, whether you play sports, whether you're just out there in the field being active. My products do not come off when you sweat.
Wow.
That's my business. Yep.
Kalu Cosmetics. So that's your last
Kalu
name.
Cosmetics. Yep. Currently under construction, and we'll be releasing some new products soon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, genuine question. How do you balance? Like, how do you maintain? You know, one of my favorite things is sports life balance. You know what I mean? That's what everyone always wants to talk about. Like, what advice can you give somebody? I put 1,001 things. You wear so many different hats. Like, how do you balance everything?
I'm struggling. No, I'm not balancing anything.
Come on, nobody's perfect, man. But hey, man, we're trying. That's all you do in life is try this shit, for real.
Yeah.
I just try to devote
a few hours a day to different things I enjoy doing. Like, whether it's my brand this day, I'm at least giving 2-3 hours on that. Or whether it's I don't want to do no business stuff. I want to go out and just have a good time and, you know, have a self-care day. I devote a few hours of that. It's just about finding time in your throughout your 24 hours a day and just trying to divide those hours into doing the things that you care about. And that's all it is to me. Like, sometimes it is a struggle because sometimes I give myself too much to a specific thing, and now I'm losing time on this topic, or I'm losing time in that area in my life. So, but it's just all about just managing, you know, just managing your peace, most of all, managing your mental, and just trying to find ways to just, you know, get things done. Spend an hour or two to devote to what you really want to do in your life, your goals or your hobbies, whatever it is.
That's deep, man. That's real. That is so real, man. Like some people always, again, it's not good to have too much pressure on yourself, right? It's like, how do I do this? How do I do that? Like, I want to do this while doing that. Like, dude, just try. You know what I mean? Just try. Give it all you can. Give it the best. You know, that's good. Dive over time here and there where you can. That's great, man. That's great. So, sorry. I thought you were saying something. I think that was a TV or something. Anyways, so what advice would you give to young girls, you know, who aspire to play, you know, not only basketball with the Nigerian team, but just in general, you know, sports or excel in sports? What's like some advice you would give to a young girl?
I think the biggest advice I can give them, for sure, that I took when I was younger, is to just work hard. Your work ethic is says a lot about who you are as a person. I think that when you work hard at what you do and what you love, you mm-hmm. enjoy it. But most of all, you find yourself giving more to it. You find yourself wanting to do it at a high level. And also, too, never let anybody deter you from what you want to do or your dreams. Or never let anybody tell you, oh, no, don't do this. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, no, you shouldn't. No. If you have something that's your dream and you're set on something, stand 10 toes on that and go after it. You know, nobody is responsible for your own success except you. And I wish that when I was younger that, you know, I was able to just, you know, be firm on certain things and just, you know, believe in myself, because I'll probably be a different person now. Like, it was things that I wanted to be a part of when I was in college that people kind of deterred me away from. Like, for example, investing in Bitcoin. I wanted to invest in Bitcoin when I was in college, and so many people told me no, and now look.
Whoever talks to you, you need to beat them. Beat their ass. What? You knew about Bitcoin back in the day. Why did you? What?
Listen, when I was in college, Bitcoin was like $10.
Jesus.
And you know, when you have friends or when you have people who like who don't really know, and you're just taking advice from people who just don't really know, you tend to just like, okay, well, nah, I'm not gonna do it. Like, it's just, so. Had I invested in Bitcoin back then, I probably wouldn't even be playing basketball right now.
We probably wouldn't be on this live. We would have to pay how many million to get you scheduled on this live?
Exactly.
Jesus. Oh my goodness.
But no, the most important, honestly, advice is just to work hard. Work ethic. Work ethic is important. Where you dedicate your time to is important. The company you keep is important. And just whatever your dreams are, just follow them. You know, don't give up on them. It definitely is not going to come overnight. And that's good sound advice. And whatever, it don't even have to do with sports. Like, whatever your plan is in life, whatever goal is in life, if you really want to accomplish that goal, give it 100% every day. Every day that you wake up, give 100%. If you feel like you can do more, give more. But also to remember your mental health. You know, don't stress yourself out. Don't overwork yourself, because, you know, it's hard to enjoy stuff if your mind and if your body and your spirit isn't into it.
Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. I beg, please. I beg. That's lovely. You know, I want to, a lot of people have been raising their hands. Ease zillions. So we're going to take a few questions from people right now. So anybody, I know we have the maximum amount of speakers and people are still raising their hands. Before the speakers do come on though, let's go ahead and, you know, give some shout outs to everyone who's been here since the beginning. You know, we got Joe O, don't worry, man, I'll let you unmute right now. Sammy Okason, Adebayo Ajadi, how do I say your name? Jesus, what is it? Senkum, Emmanuel, Anita, Dennis, John. What is it? World Mayor, hi, Data Hub. Don't worry, man. We're still also gonna do a giveaway for, you know, the people who are in this live who joined and supported. Sophia, Shelby, Ekwe Anayo, Shay Max, Tosh, Muhammad, Olax, Ada21, Westside, Sugar, Faith Cakes, Jayemi, Ola, and TC Mike. I beg. Round of applause for all you people. I beg. Thank you guys for joining. So let's go ahead and Joe O, go ahead and you can unmute your mic, you know, say what you want to say, whether it's a question, show Ezine some love. Let's keep it 30 seconds to a minute so we can get, you know, more people chatting. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to be talking on fast forward because 30 seconds is crazy. But shout out to Naija Nation first, and and everybody, good day to everybody. Ezine, how you doing? First off, I just want to give you your flowers before I ask you the questions I want to ask. As a fellow New Jersey Nigerian, I just want to say we riding hard for you. You're one of my favorite female ballers, one of my favorite ballers. You know what I'm saying? And you always got our back, right? So I want to ask three questions, but I'm going to just ask and put it on mute. But how was it tearing your ACL and bouncing back? You feel me? Because that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? For you to be doing what you're doing, all these great things, and then, you know, Like, you know, a lot of people don't bounce back off of crazy injuries like that. Talk less of ACL, which is like the lowest percentage. Like, you're such an inspiration and motivation to, like, you know, people like us, you know what I'm saying? And second question is that when are we going to expect you in Nigeria, you know, helping out, you know, inspiring young girls, young boys? Because, you know, I could imagine I've been in school in Nigeria at one point in my life, and I could imagine, like, you know, if I wanted to do anything, maybe I wanted to be a basketball player, and I met, you know, somebody that plays for the national team that's real big, you know what I'm saying? That you could be a real inspiration and a real legend to our people back home. Like, when are we going to expect that? And my last question is, what's your favorite basketball movie growing up? That's it.
First, thank you for the flowers. I really appreciate it. Jersey in the building, for sure. So tearing my ACL was definitely one of the toughest moments of my career. I tore my ACL at Savannah State my sophomore year. And I think what got me through that was my mindset and, you know, people hearing people saying that she's not going to come back from this. I wanted to prove them wrong. I wanted to prove the world wrong. I wanted to prove, more importantly, to myself that you can come back from this. Like, this is just a bump along the road. And it was not easy. I ended up coming back within 6 months. And the physical therapist that I had at Savannah State was just amazing. He was on me every day. He, you know, talked me through it, you know, got my mental right and said, listen, if you want to come back and you want to play for the team and you want to continue on doing the things that you want to do as an athlete, you have to give this 100%. And every day that I came was that gym, every day that I came was that rehab session, I gave him my all because I wanted to come back. I didn't want to be the one of those players who got hurt and was never the same player. I wanted to come back and be better than I was. So my mindset was definitely what got me through that ACL injury. Second question was when I was going to come back to Nigeria, right? Yes, I definitely will be coming back to Nigeria very soon. I'm hoping to get there sometime in the end of May or the end of June. I really think it's important with me being from Nigeria, with me traveling to Nigeria multiple times, I really think it's important for me to finally get boots on ground and actually come home and do the work. I love my country. I love the love that people have for me. And I think it's important that I actually get back to Africa now, to Nigeria specifically. I mentioned earlier that I had a nonprofit organization, and you guys would be the first to know that my nonprofit is called We Move, the We Move Foundation. And a lot of people in Nigeria know what the term We Move mean. You know, we hear it all the time. And it's pretty much geared towards African athletes, you know, helping out whether it's logistics, whether it's with equipment, whether it's building a gym or building the courts or just helping out with different camps there. So I definitely plan on getting to Nigeria really, really soon, this year for sure. It's been really hard to get there with my schedules. You know, with me constantly going overseas, it's really hard to find time to get there, but I'm definitely going to dedicate time this year to get there sometime the end of May, early June. So yes, be expecting me really soon, whether it's having a camp there, whether it's having events there, whether it's doing donation drives. I really want to get home to get boots on ground. And your third question, my favorite movie, basketball movie growing up, is definitely cliche, but it was Love and Basketball, and it was Above the Rim. Those are my two favorite ones.
Man, love it. Man, hey, Joe, for starters, appreciate those great questions. Amazing questions.
No, I had to support my Nigerians and, you know, my Jersey Nigerian, you know. She's, bro, like, I want her jersey one day. That's all I'm going to say.
But, I'm all.
Uh-huh, yeah, no. Listen, I'm
need to do a giveaway, bro.
Yeah, we need to do a giveaway. Collect, though. But I'm also releasing jerseys really soon. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram, but I've been posting my Niger jersey that I wore when I got signed to Atlanta Dream. So I'll be releasing some jerseys real soon, specialized. Yeah,
that's fire. And please, just for everybody who's in here, you know, what's your Instagram handle? Is it the same as your Twitter? So everyone can follow you. We'll tag it after.
My Instagram is _TheNigerianQueen.
Okay. Cool. Love it. The Nigerian Queen. All right, Ease Zillions. I know you had your hand up for a while, man. What's your go ahead and unmute your mic. What's your question? Talk, you know, just keep it 30 seconds to a minute. Yeah, go on. Go ahead. Ease Zillions, you there?
Ease Zillions, ask your question or don't be shy.
Come on. All right, Sammy, are you there? Is anybody there? Let me see. Sammy, you can go ahead and unmute your mic. I saw you raising your hand earlier. You can go ahead and unmute your mic. Go ahead and ask the question, any question that you have. Okay. Let me go ahead and ask another question then. Bam. Question. So what's your favorite, like, do you have any, like, pregame superstitions? I know when I was playing basketball, yes. I had a bunch of, like, pregame superstitions. I would wear two socks on my left foot. You know what I mean? Like, but what do you have? What was yours?
I have a ton. Actually, I'm even afraid to tell you people because I don't want you people judging me. Wait, so we listen and we don't judge, Ivy?
this one not safe space, or this one not safe space, I beg.
Is it safe space or Twitter space? Which one? Because I need to make sure I'm not being quoted and my voice is not being reconstructed to AI to be put in all these different block sites.
None of that. You're safe with us, man.
Okay. So I have a couple of them. So I always have to wear the same spandex sports bra and socks. So for
like the same brand?
No, the same one. Like, for example, the sports bra and compression shorts that I'm gonna wear in the game tomorrow, I have to wear that for the next game and the next game and the next game.
Oh, okay.
Like I don't know what it is, but it's just like a, and I think it's all a mental thing because if I have a bad game, then I switch it. I don't know what you call this, but I wear the same thing. Obviously, I wash it, guys. But I wear the same sports bra, socks, and compression shorts every game. If something goes wrong and I have a terrible game, then I swap everything out. I change my sports bra, compression shorts, and socks. I no longer wear the same thing.
Right. So what I'm hearing right now is during that Olympic run, it was the same.
It was the same. I didn't change a thing. I didn't change that.
You're balling.
My other ritual that I have to do is before the game, I have to lay all my clothes out. So like, you know how, I don't know if anybody knows this, but during pregames, you know, in the morning you have your shoot around, you have your team lunch, and then you take like your nap before you leave for the game. I have to lay out my clothes to get dressed before I get to the gym. I can't get dressed at the gym.
Okay. So you would get dressed at the house.
Exactly. By the time I get to the gym, I just put on my accessories, like my headband, my leg sleeve, my arm sleeve, and I go. My last ritual is that I have to do everything left first. So I have to put my left shoe on first. My left
first. There's no way.
I don't know what it is, but I swear, I've been doing this since my freshman year in college, and that was 2010. So I always have to do everything left first. My left leg and my shorts first. My left leg and my left foot and my sock first. Put my left shoe on first. My left arm through my shirt first. Like I don't know what it. I guess it's like a force of habit or nature, but it's just these are rituals that kind of soothe me and get me mentally prepared for the games and get me mentally locked in. If my routine or my rituals is messed up, then I know for sure that the game will be stressed.
Right. I get you. And then you'll start thinking, damn, had I have done this?
Exactly. And I listen to Afrobeats all the time during my warm up.
Who's your favorite Afrobeats artist?
That's tough. At the moment, it's Asake. At the moment, but who knows? Maybe this weekend it'll change. Let's see how I play tomorrow.
I love it. Hey, Joe, you can go ahead and ask another question. I see your hand up.
So that's crazy you asked that about the music, because I was about to ask, what's your top three favorite Naija songs right now? That's number one. Number two was, what's your favorite Naija dish? And lastly was, how was it being, you're like five, six, five, seven, if I'm mistaken?
I'm 5'8".
5'8". I'm sorry. So 5'8", right? How was it being a little bit like smaller or like shorter than, you know, probably like average women ballers? Like, was it intimidating? Like, did people kind of like underestimate? Like, was it intimidating, basically?
So I'll answer the question about food first. My favorite Nigerian dish is egusi soup with pounded yam. This is my all-time favorite, and I want goat meat and chicken inside my soup. this is my favorite of all time. My three songs I listen to right now. Ooh, I will have to check my playlist. But for sure, I'm always listening to "Dead Play" by Burna Boy because it always gets me. That always gets me going. The second song I'm listening to is who sang the song? We've been moving. That song, yeah. That song, moving. Yeah. And
that song's fire.
Yes. And the third one, who am I gonna play if I'm getting ready for the game?
Too many options.
No Ashake.
I listen to him, but he's not like he's my favorite for sure. But if I need something to get me going and I click shuffle, he rarely pops up. I feel like he only pops up like when I choose him, when I actually want to listen to his album. But I don't know what my third song will be. I'll come back to that one. Well, your third question was, what was your third question?
It was favorite Nigerian dish. Oh yeah, and then like being smaller than the average woman baller, was that intimidating? Like, how did that phase other people? Did they underestimate you? Like, was it like challenging?
Yeah, it wasn't challenging because I'm a firm believer in small heights, big hearts. Who's running? What's going on? Stones, are you okay?
I know. Yo, Stones, don't you mute your mic?
No, you're right. In the words of Charlie Puppy, small moto, big engine.
Yeah, exactly. So I was never really intimidated. I've always just had just confidence and aura about me that, like, when I step on the court, if you're 7 foot, I'm also 7 foot. So I just my mindset and my confidence and the size of my heart, my height never really affected me or, you know, made me feel smaller.
Hey Joe, great questions. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Great question. All right, let's go ahead and I'm gonna go ahead and add Stones back as a speaker. I don't know if maybe his mic was messed up. Stones, if you have a question, we got about 5 to 7 more minutes on this space. So Stones, if you have a question, go ahead and unmute your mic. Ask Ezra a question.
I don't know what Stones was over there doing, but it didn't sound friendly.
Man, look, the bros out here wilding on the space. That's crazy.
Well, you said this is safe space. Stone said, let me test it out.
Bro, take it to another level. Okay, well, I guess I doesn't have anything to say. I have one more question. Who is your toughest hooper? Like, who's your toughest opponent that you played against personally in your career? Oh. And I just kind of want to hear, how was it? How much did you drop on them? How much did they drop on your head? Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, I have to think. You talking about playing with Nigeria? Like, who was my toughest opponent playing with a team? Or, like, overall?
It can be overall. It can be someone you played during travel ball in high school, Savannah State, Team Nigeria. But you played them, and you were like, fuck, like, they're nice, you know?
Yeah. I think I would have to say, wow. I'm thinking of all the games I've played throughout my whole career, and that's a really good question. Nobody ever asked that before, so I don't really have an answer. Mm-hmm. I'll have to think on that. I would definitely have to think on that because I've played against some tough athletes before. Mm.
I get you. You like, it's like you just play so many games.
Yeah.
And like, you lose track. I know for me, I think one, that's even a good question, but one game that stands out to me was when we played the Ball Brothers. I mean, my God, it was like a style of basketball like we've never played. Like they were literally on a whole different level. We played them in travel ball. Oh my God, it was crazy. So I would say that was mine. But have you ever played like Diana Taurasi?
I played. Yeah, of course, I played against Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird and Brittany Griner, like all the big names. But
damn,
but that was
they're not memorable.
No. They're definitely memorable for sure. But it wasn't like I had a hard time. Like, they gave me a hard time. Now, it wasn't a player, but it was the team in general. The team who always gave me a hard time when I play them is Mali. Like, there's no specific player, but it's, like, the energy that they have when we play against them is just always, I'm, like, fighting for my life. It's, like...
Oh, it's, Wait, you said Mali, right? Like
The country, MALI, the national team, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I played against tough individuals before, but nobody sticks out that made me feel like, damn, I gotta go hard. Nobody has ever made me feel like that. Now, a whole team has made me feel like that. Like, every time I touch the ball, like, they throw one or two plays at me, or every time I drive to the basket, I'm on the floor, or every time I try to go get the ball, they make sure they give me an elbow or two, or pull on my hair so I don't get it. Mali is that team.
Right. Okay.
Mali, then, for sure. After the game, I'm saying I need an ice bath. I need to be stretched. It's always like that when we play against them.
Right. Damn. Hey, Dennis, just added you as a speaker. I know you had your hand up for a while. Dennis, if you have a question, you can go ahead and this is probably going to be the last question. Dennis, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. That was good, bro. How you doing? How you doing, Azalee? What's good? Since it's a safe space, man, I just have to put this out. Izinle for sure is one of my female basketball crush, man. She's hot as hell. And one thing I like about her, she gets to rep Niger like always. So my question would be, I just want to know what's like the mentality like when you guys played the US team at the quarterfinals during the Olympics, the Paris Olympics. That's just my question. Thank you.
First, thank you for your compliment. I really appreciate it. And my mentality every time I play against USA is to just go at them, give 100%, because I know literally the whole world is watching, right? And I just want to make sure I do my best. I want to make sure I'm giving 100% on offense, on defense. I want to make sure that they remember who Nigeria is, and then they also remember who number 23 Ezine is. And that's all my mentality is. Just go out there, go out and fight, go out, give 100%. The whole world is watching, so put on the show.
Love that. That's a great question. And an even better answer. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Ezine Kalu, before we end off this space, for starters, again, please, or everybody who is in this space, pick up your phone. Go and give Ezine a follow. Give her a follow, support her. Ezine, dude. Like, thank you so much. Seriously, I would like this from the bottom of the entire Niger Nation team heart. Thank you for joining. Thank you for always supporting our brand. You know, we got you till the bitter end. Anything that you have pending doing in Nigeria, I know you mentioned your foundation. Which again, we're gonna be supporting as well, right? So definitely send us more information on that. You know, we'll tweet about it. Have people support you, any help that you need. But I just kind of want to, give you the floor, give you the final mic, have you talk overall, have you wrap this thing up, man, so we can also, for anybody who was here and you want to play this back, are going to be available as a podcast on our Spotify and as our Apple podcast. So, you'll be able to check it out, hear all the beautiful insight that Mrs. Ezine Kalu was giving, So, Ezine, please, the floor is yours. I'm glad your flowers, but, we're here to give you a couple more bouquets, so go ahead.
Thank you so much. First, I want to give you your flowers. Niger Nation, I've been following you for years. I've been supporting you for years. Just thank you so much for putting Africa on the map, for supporting everything Africa, supporting everything Nigeria, just showcasing how beautiful the world is, how beautiful we are as Africans, how beautiful we are as people. So thank you for giving us a platform to show who we are. Thank you for all the people in these spaces who asked questions, who supported me along the way throughout these years. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I cannot wait to come to Nigeria to meet all of you, to work with all of you in the future. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. Be sure to follow me on Instagram. I'm not sure what's happening on TikTok, but be sure to follow me there. But most importantly, follow me on Twitter, _TheNigerQueen and _TheNigerianQueen on Instagram. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Hey, love me. Azanay, thank you so much to everyone who's joined, everyone who supported. Thank you so much. And yeah, we will catch you guys next time on Niger Nation Spaces, man. Azanay, take care. We'll be in touch, all right?
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
All right, take care, you guys. Peace.